announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Welcome to another edition of the Filthy FRB Show. It's Saturday, August 29th, and it's been a while, but Tom Lawlor is back from Alaska.
Yep.
Tell us about Alaska.
It's awesome. Everyone should go. The final frontier. Or wait, maybe that's like Star Trek. The last frontier? I forget. But whatever the slogan is.
It's got to be something like that. I mean, it's... I don't know why I watched it, but they had this show years ago called Sarah Palin's Alaska. And it was basically her just road tripping around Alaska. And it was actually an interesting show, not so much about her, but just seeing the sights and having to take these small puddle jumpers to get to the next island to go fishing. Did you do anything like that?
Yeah, actually, one of the last days I was there, myself and my friend Matt that we went together, flew out to a place called Lake Clark National Park. I just call it Bear Island because, well, that's what we went to see. We went on like a tour to see bears, basically in their natural habitat at this national park. So we took like one of the small planes. We didn't take one of the float planes. The float planes are the ones that land on the water,
right?
And they take off from the water. We landed on like a regular, like a small plane on the beach, but we flew over like an active volcano. It was like steaming as we were flying by it. Like, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, probably 50 yards to this thing.
So what type of elevation are we talking? Like how many feet up in the air are you?
All of them.
What do you mean all of them?
We're way up there. I don't know.
High
thousands
enough.
Of feet.
Yeah, high enough.
Yeah, we're really high up there. So we go to this island and, you know, there's, I don't know, probably 10 bears we saw just chilling out. They would catch the salmon and eat it in front of us. So it was pretty rad.
So you didn't pull a Habib and try to anger the bears a little bit into like a sparring session or?
Hell no.
Now, did he really wrestle a bear?
Yeah.
There's a video of it?
Yeah. You haven't seen the video? There's a video of him as a kid. And then there's recent video as well.
So like
same bear.
I mean, I saw the pictures of these bears, you know, you sent me. But so how big were the ones that Khabib was wrestling?
Well, I mean, it was smaller when he was smaller. And then now I think it's a full grown bear.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think all bears are just gigantic. You know, there's four kinds of bear in Alaska. So that means, God, there's probably millions of kinds of bears in, maybe not millions, but, you know, hundreds of kinds of bears across the world. So who knows what kind of bear that is that he was wrestling. Could have been smaller.
Yeah, you know, when you told me you were going to Alaska, I was like, well, shit, that's one place I hadn't been. And I'm not really outdoorsy type, but it just looks like a cool place. Is that like a really expensive vacation to do, or is it something you can do kind of on a, you know?
Nah, I probably spent like $2,000 when all is said and done between flying there. I went on like an ATV excursion. I went whitewater rafting. You know, I went to this bear island, hiked to a glacier, rode bikes around this like scenic bike path around Anchorage. So I was pretty active the whole time. So, you know, it ended up costing me.
So during the summer, though, isn't it light like a majority of the day or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably, it got dark probably like right after 10. And then the sun would be up at like 4 in the morning. So, yeah, I think it was like 6 hours of light or so.
Yeah, I heard about that because they have a very famous baseball league up there called the Alaska Baseball League. And they would start the season at midnight or something. And I would always read that. I was like, how can they do that? They're like, well, no, that's just what it's like. And then it's the exact opposite, I guess, during the winter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty cool place. Like, it would be the perfect place to live for like 5 years. You could like live in Anchorage, live a normal life. You could go see all these different islands and, you know, all the different national parks and all the different, you know, places in Alaska, all the different, you know, there's just, it's just a vast, expansive, you know, place of relatively untouched beauty, really. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And then everything's like, you know how you are in Las Vegas and you can, like, if you take a look at the strip, you see a casino and you're like, oh shit, that casino's right there. But in reality, it's like far away because it's so massive. I mean, that's like these mountains and stuff on a tenfold scale. You know, it's just awesome.
So do you have any plans to go back? Or
Yeah, I want to go back. Like right now, I want to go back.
I never pegged you as an outdoors guy. I thought you were, you know, just watching wrestling all the time and training.
I am, but I like to do it in the elements.
I gotcha. Now, so you don't go hiking? Because I always see these MMA fighters that live in Vegas. They always go out to Red Rock, and that's like the place to go hiking and to, I don't know, be one with nature.
Yeah, I've been out there.
Yeah. Well, we had this great idea yesterday to have our friend. I don't know if we should mention his name because apparently we have a bad reputation and we wouldn't be seen or held in the highest regard by a major Division I sports program, sports information director.
What's the guy's name? Burt McTavish.
Is that the athletic director?
Or is it our friend? No, that's our friend.
Okay, Burt. Yeah, so Burt, our friend Burt is like, yeah, you're going to have to clear this with the sports information department. And I'm like, Burt, that's not how things work, man. We don't check with anybody. What are you talking about?
Hell no. Yeah, I say we should just call, you know, we should do a show where we just call random people unannounced and see if we can get them to talk on the show.
Just go through the contact.
Yeah. Just pick like a, let's see, pick a letter for me here, Brian.
B.
B. Okay. Let's see. All right. B. Okay. Oh, we could call quite a few people here. All right.
Who do you got?
Oh, man. No, I mean, no one good. No one that you'd want to talk to. Alan Belcher.
Yeah, Alan Belcher's cool.
Yeah, Alan Belcher's a man, but I'm not going to call him right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to anger him. Guy's a beast.
Yeah. So right before we're recording this, I was on looking at UFCstore.com.
Do you know James Brasco? He'd be somebody good.
No, who is he?
He's a grappler primarily. He fought in Bellator as well. He was a guy that trained under Pablo Popovich.
Oh, Pablo Popovich. Before Thiago Silva ran him out of town.
Yeah. So
what was I going to go into? Oh, yeah. So UFCstore.com, they have your shirt up there, and it's only $400. It's a shirt that you wore walking out to the ring on July 25th, I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, so how does that work? They come up to you and say, hey, we want one item so we can sell it on UFCstore.com, or do you say, hey, I'll let you have the shirt. I want everything else.
No, they tell us that they take one item. We know that going in. So you have to, you pick which item you want them to take. I think it's the gloves, the shirt, the pants. No, maybe it's the shorts. Maybe it's the shorts, the shirt, the gloves, and, the jacket maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause
I forget what you...
I saw up there they have John Volante's gloves and they have your walkout shirt. Those are the two things that they're selling. But the other thing that was kind of surprising about it, and I'm surprised it's the first I've seen of it, they're selling the girls' sports bras and their shorts, like these little shorts.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? I mean, I guess it's a double standard. I mean, it's just like, I mean, they're selling guys' shorts, you know, what's the big deal? But
you're talking about their outfit.
Well, they're selling the actual fight shorts, which are basically spandex, you know, that are
Oh, you're saying it's from the girls. The girls have warned them in their fights previously.
Yeah, like Jessica I was up there from the card that you were on, and Michelle Watterson.
Somebody could be sniffing the crotch of those pants. Well, so that's what you're getting.
Yeah, I would think there would be a decent sized group of people who would like to purchase that.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much a Paige Van Zandt, worn pair of fight shorts would go for. What about Angela Magana's? Didn't she just piss herself when she got thrown against the Karate Hottie? Could you buy those pants?
No, is that really true? Did she? She pissed herself?
I saw a little gif, and I thought that was the deal. Let me see. Let's check. Let's check on the old Google machine, Brian.
So, Tom, she does this thing, and I don't – it's called, session wrestling. Do you have a kind of an idea that what I'm talking about?
It's the Magana shirt. No, Son of a gun. Holy shit. How much do you think Michelle Watterson's shorts are going for?
Well, I was just on the site. It's $1,000, right?
Holy shit, $1,000.
Yeah, and Jessica I's 500 or 400. And it's like, how do you determine, what goes into the merchandise guy when he's trying to...
Oh, come on, we know.
Does he have to put his perv hat on, or...
Hey, it's fair market value, whatever.
Yeah, and Ronda Rousey's top from UFC 190, actually worn in the cage, is $10,000.
Yeah. Somebody's just going to be hoping, praying that thing rubbed bare against her nipple.
Yeah, but if you think about these shorts, Tom, I mean, if they're the Valet Tudeau type shorts, I mean, how could they not have gotten up into at least two, crevices, if you will? I mean, if you really want it, I mean, that would be something to save up for.
Yeah, yeah. If you really want it, yeah, sure, go for it. Whatever.
And then the shorts aren't even signed. They're not signed. They're just some shorts. Oh,
yes, some sick fuck's gonna buy these pants. That's it. It's the end of it.
And I forget who it was on Twitter. They said, if somebody buys Jessica's shorts, she should be immediately notified of who purchased it, so she can put a preemptive restraining order on them.
Oh, the Bill Cosby of sports memorabilia guys.
Yeah. So when these things sell, now you guys don't get a cut of fight worn stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you'll get a cut of the personalized fight kits as they're called, right?
Yeah. Hey, did you see that new Seth Rollins fight kit?
No.
That he wore at SummerSlam?
Well, I did watch SummerSlam, but it was a new, what was it, a tap-out kit?
No, he just had on a new fight kit.
Did Michael Cole call it?
No, it was that all-white fight kit.
Oh, I was traveling back. I was at the, I only saw Lesnar and Undertaker. I was at Global Force.
It's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick?
Yeah. All the wrestlers' outfits should be fight kits now.
Well,
jump on board.
If one of these companies came to Vince and was like, here's $20 million a year. I mean, I always wondered, why don't these guys get sponsorships?
Well, I mean, they are partnered up with Tap Out, so I mean, it would make sense. But I don't know. Vince needs to be in control, I would assume, and that's not going to happen when you get all these other extraneous forces pulling on you.
The tap-out deal is interesting because we had a mutual friend of ours tell me that WWE actually owns equity in tap-out now. That was part of the deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, the last thing they invested in did really well. What was it called? Tout? that video? You would take a video and post it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Instagram figured out how to do short videos too, and we're like, yeah.
I really like that XFL thing they tried. And the bodybuilding league. Those were good too.
Or what was that supplement called in 93, 94? ExoPro or
I think it was IcoPro or something.
IcoPro.
Like that. Right?
Yeah.
There was somebody wearing a fucking IcoPro shirt at Battle of Los Angeles in the crowd last night. And I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Like,
so Tom, that was another thing that I wanted to bring up. So like the people that don't know about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or PWG, like even, you know, while you were on vacation last week, I had Chael on and John P. Marini, and John lives in Southern California. He was telling me a story about how he was trying to get tickets for Battle of LA, which is an annual tournament with the top indie wrestlers, at least in the country, maybe in the world. And they wrestle for 3 days. And he was telling me he went on the website, you know, they went on sale at maybe like 12 o'clock or something. And remember, this is an American Legion Hall, and they were sold out within 1 minute.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sounds legit.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I saw today Chris Hero, a very good independent wrestler, used to be on Ring of Honor and shortly, I guess, with FCW or NXT. And he was asking the fans, hey, do you have a ticket that I can buy from you? And the fans, a couple fans tweeted back. He's like, can't you just sneak them in? I mean, you're, and he's like, it doesn't work that way, man.
Yeah. Hey, you got fire code and shit, man.
So tell us a little bit about your, because I've never been to a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. So I know you attended last night.
Very, it's a very exclusive club.
It is. And I know you attended last night with the legendary Dave Meltzer. What was that like? Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any way I was getting in without it, you know, that's for sure. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. It was, you know, actually it was the first time I had met Dave and spent any time with him. But, you know, I was like watching a rare animal in its natural habitat. I didn't want to interfere too much. I was sitting right next to him. But, like, I didn't want to, you know, because he was taking notes the whole time. And he's watching really intently. And I didn't want to, like, interrupt that. So, you know, we didn't like sit down and talk about everything, but it was an awesome experience.
So you drove from Vegas out to LA. Dave came in from San Jose.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Why didn't you stay for the last two nights? You had to.
You know, just I was gone for a week, and then I left again. I got a pregnant girlfriend, that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's obvious. So what is Dave like? Do you say, hey, Dave, that looked like 4.25 stars. What do you think, big guy?
I didn't ask any of that. Another guy, another fan, another observer. First of all, in the crowd, there's like probably 50% of the people there are like observer readers or, you know.
The smartest marks of the smart marks. Yes. Would that be fair? Yeah,
these are indie marks, yeah. You know.
Like a whole new level of.
Yes, 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 yes. And Dave is like the king, you know, the non self-appointed king, you know, of these guys. So one guy would come up, and it's like crazy because I don't really know. He was with other people, but I don't know how well he knows them, and I don't know who they are. So one guy would keep coming over and asking Dave what he thought about like each match to get star ratings and then give his own star rating to Dave, you know.
He must have been so annoyed.
I mean, no, he didn't look like it. I mean, he didn't appear that way, but actually I was talking to Brian Alvarez earlier and he was asking me and I told him that same thing and he's like, oh, why? You know, like, yeah.
Well, isn't that why you pay $10 a month to Dave's website to see his star ratings? I mean, to me, like, I'll be honest. I go through, like, the events that he reviews, and I don't always read his play-by-play, but I'm like, if something's, like, 4.25, 4.5, I'm like, okay, I need to go watch that.
Yeah, no, I never – I rarely even go look at the star ratings. Like, I don't go do it unless somebody's talking about it.
Really?
I never – no, why? Why does it matter? I mean, if it's – I mean, I like to see matches get like high stars, or if it's you know, a lot of the New Japan matches, or if it's like a match that I really thought was good, I'll go look. But other than that, it means nothing to me. I mean, if I watch it and I enjoy it, what's it matter? Because you know, there's some stuff like Dave will rate like a Yano, a Toru Yano. Have you seen his matches?
Is he a New Japan guy?
Yeah, he's like a comedy guy in New Japan.
Right? I'm not that familiar with.
What the fuck, man? Come on. He basically like wins with like low blows and roll ups, and he's beaten Tanahashi a few times, and he beat Minoru Suzuki by count out because he handcuffed him to the ring post. One match. So he just does like stuff like that. But he's like a comedy wrestler, and like Dave, you know, doesn't rate his matches kind of talks bad about his matches. And it's like, I love it. I love seeing that kind of stuff. You know, it's a departure from everything else on the card. So, you know, to me, it's like, if I enjoy it, what's it matter?
Well, that's true. I guess people are just, they look at Dave's star ratings because they accept that Dave knows more about professional wrestling than anyone in the world knows about one single topic. Right?
It's like, probably true.
Like, who's the famous physicist in England? Stephen Hawking. So Dave knows more about professional wrestling than Stephen Hawking knows about physics.
Yes.
You think that's legit?
It could be. It could be.
Now, I mean,
but, a lot of that stuff's like memorization as well. You know what it really is?
It's physics?
No.
I mean, the hard part is professional wrestling. The physics shit, I mean, that's for, you know.
The pro wrestling stuff. But really, you know what else it's really good at? It's like reading behavioral patterns, you know, and things like that. You know, he's really good at that, like reading behavioral patterns, economic patterns, everything.
So you know, we just got a WhatsApp text from our friend, what are we calling him, Bert? And he says, he says the door guy at this bar looks exactly like Gaywood.
Oh, man.
Everything I have not to blast him in the mouth for no reason. What does he blast him? Does that mean punch him or do something else to him?
I don't know. Hey, he's talking about Gaywood over there. You never know. He could be talking about blasting him in the mouth or something else.
Of course, nobody knows what we're talking about. But Gaywood is the guy that was harassing John Wood, myself, and untold amounts of other people after Tom fell in Chicago.
I had people, like three or four people, complain to me about this guy, one of my friends.
I mean, he would just reach out and touch John's dick. It was the most, it was disturbing.
Hey, maybe he saw something he liked, you know? Sometimes you can't always choose what you love, right?
Yeah. So is that guy going to come to Brazil? I can only imagine. Imagine him messing with some guys from the favelas in Brazil.
Oh, God. I don't think he'd get a visa. I don't know if he can get a visa to go.
Now, how about – yeah.
He was in, like, a successful band. He, like, used to tour. I mean, like, he was, like, legit, you know? Dude, I've seen some of the girls that guy's pulled, and we're talking like phenomenal.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, there was nothing wrong with him. It, other than he was just, he's acting very weirdly. I mean, just not the way you would act around anybody, really. I mean, who?
No, especially not Tim Sylvia.
Oh, he messed with Sylvia?
No, but I'm just saying Tim Sylvia was there.
Yeah, he was. What was the name of that place in Chicago?
I think it was Sylvia.
It was some bar that the guy from Fight Chicks, he had some kind of party there. Eddie Bravo was there. Yeah, Jake. And, yeah.
They're good people. Fight Chicks people are great.
Yeah, they really took care of us when we were there. I wish I could remember the name of the place. Who is the guy that like brought us there? I could have sworn he was like your publicist. Was he just your friend? But he seemed like he was. He had a sports jacket on. Like he looked like he was like, you know, the guy in charge of the group.
My publicist.
Yeah, like he was the guy. He's like, no, it's up here, two lefts. Tom, just we'll be there in 5 minutes. Like he was organizing everything.
I can't even imagine who you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, I had started drinking around noon.
What do you look? What do you look like?
Probably like tall, kind of slim, kind of, I guess
my you'd dad? Say,
no, not your dad. Like, he, kind of preppy looking.
Oh, Jeff, you're talking about Jeff Ruberg. Hey, buddy. Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah, yeah. He wrestled at Oklahoma State for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Because I thought he was like your guy, you know, because he was in charge of it. He was running the show.
He's one of my best friends, but he's not in charge of shit.
He's in charge. He put out a good show. He put out a good show.
He's the man. He's good. He, you know, what's funny is, so there's another guy, one of the Hispanic guys. So remember, there's a guy that looked with the mustache, the crazy mustache, right?
Okay.
Was he? Yeah. Okay. One of the other guys was his brother, and we saw him at the bar. Like, yeah, that was awesome, man. You said what's up to us right before the fight, and I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, you walked right by and slapped our hands and said what's up. So I'm like, oh, I didn't see you guys at all. So I go back and I watch the tape, and like, sure as shit, like, they're right there, and I fucking slapped their hands.
You know, like, it's funny you mention that. It's funny you mention that because quite a few people are asking me, hey, was that you that Tom slapped hands with when he walked out? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was in the building. I haven't watched it on TV. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And then after, like, when I was doing the post-fight speech, that same guy, my publicist guy, was screaming into the camera, and they fucking shot to him. So that was pretty cool. Like, I'm on there talking, and they shoot to him, and he's screaming into the camera. So that was a cool moment for me.
We could have done a podcast just on this. It wasn't really an after party. It was kind of like just a gathering of people with a lot of interesting characters.
Yeah, to say the least.
Which I would expect. I was expecting nothing less than that. How about your friend that got really wasted, got online, he lives in Singapore, and bought a ticket, like, for what, 12 hours later to fly to fucking Chicago?
Yeah. We didn't talk about this on here?
Did we already?
I don't know. It might bear repeating.
I mean, yeah, why don't you tell the story? No one's listened to this show twice anyway, so why don't you...
we have all first-time listeners all the time. Nobody can make it past one. He was drunk Friday night in Singapore, got hammered, and bought a flight at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and went straight to the airport. Had a fanny pack, and that was it.
Yeah,
a fucking fanny pack. That's it. Flies in, gets in at like, I don't know, 4 in the afternoon, goes straight to the fights, gets there, watches the fight, goes straight out, parties all night. That, believe me, I've seen that guy do that a million times. He is phenomenal. He is hilarious, too.
That's Danny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Danny, when I first met you 5 years ago at UFC 110 or 111 in New Jersey, I was actually just bullshitting with him about the fights. And then I think, I don't know, 20 minutes later, you showed up, and then we talked, all three of us. I think that was the first time we ever met.
Seth was there, too.
Was he really?
Yeah, Seth was there as well. So we go out, we're in Newark, New Jersey, right, for those fights.
Yeah.
And me, Seth, and Danny go out after the fights. And, you know, Newark's pretty shady, and it sucks.
For sure.
So we're going around, and, man, I can't remember what was it, like, I want to say... there's like the district that's all the Brazilians, Ironbound.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's an okay area.
Yeah, so we're trying to cruise through there, and we like go to one bar with these chicks, and then whatever, we leave, and we're driving around, and it's Danny's driving, and then it's me and Seth and these two girls, and they get into an argument about something, and Danny's like, the girl called Danny Free Willy is what happened. So she goes, hey, pull over, Free Willy, or something like that. And, cause he was, you know, he was chunked up at the time. He was fat. So, he fucking pulls over and kicks him out of the car.
Oh, he pulled an Iron Sheik to Fabulous Moolah.
He booted him out.
Have you heard that story that about the Sheik and Greg the Hammer?
No.
So the Sheik and Greg the Hammer, they're driving, and they decided to give Fabulous Moolah, because she didn't have a ride to get to the next show. So, you know, Fabulous Moolah was old back then, so the Sheik and Greg Valentine was like, Moolah, okay, you can come with us. But Sheik wasn't happy. He didn't like Moolah because she had been way too rough with his friend Wendy Richter. And so she would go in there and shoot on Wendy Richter. So the Sheik already didn't like her. So, you know, they're driving along. I don't know how long the car ride is. But the Sheik and Greg the Hammer start smoking the green medicine in the car.
Yeah.
Right? And Fabulous Moolah was, you know, old school, no bullshit, didn't want to be around any drugs or drinking or anything like that. And so she's bitching at Greg the Hammer to put out the marijuana, the green medicine. And the Sheik bows up and starts yelling at Fabulous Moolah, you don't like the Greg the Hammer green medicine? Get the fuck out of car. And the Sheik threw Fabulous Moolah, the legendary Fabulous Moolah, threw her out right on the side of the road.
Jeez.
Because she insulted Greg the Hammer's green medicine.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that as well, I stumbled upon, like in Alaska, I guess recreational marijuana is legal, but you can't buy it or sell it. So you just got to hope someone shares it with you in a private place. So they have a club that you can go into and just hang out. A medical marijuana club. No, it's not even medical. Sorry.
Oh, it's just recreational, right?
Yeah, 420 Events Club. I went to it.
Hey, Tom, we might have to do some editing here.
Why? What's it about?
Well, there's some new drug testing protocols in place.
Right now?
I thought it started July 1st.
Did it? Yeah, but I mean, that's only for in competition.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They made a clear distinction of that. Yeah. So that's true. Yeah, as long as it's not before the fight.
I can go into a building and get secondhand smoke. Perfectly legal.
Yeah. So you can't buy it and you can't sell it, but you can consume it. You can do it. That doesn't make any sense. So that means you have to smuggle it into Alaska?
No, you can grow it.
Oh, okay.
There are growers, not showers there.
Right.
Yeah.
So
Very nice people. Anyway, they showed me around the club and then I left.
Yeah.
Very nice people.
Sure. And that's in Anchorage, the 420 Event Club or something you said?
Yeah.
So if you guys are in Anchorage, you can check that out. But last night was Bellator, and it wasn't – did you have an opportunity to see it? I know you were at the PWG.
No, I did not. I just did read the results, so I kind of know what happened, but not too informed.
Yeah, I mean, not a great card, really, to be honest with you. I mean,
I didn't think it was going in, though. I mean, going in, I didn't expect anything great.
Yeah. I mean, I thought one of the things that was totally screwed up was in the main event with Melvin Gillard, there was a judge. This is MMA Junkie. You can't get on there without listening to one of these commercials. So Melvin Gillard, some judge found two rounds for Melvin Gillard, which to me was totally ridiculous. There was nothing that you could possibly see to give two rounds to Melvin Gillard against Brandon Gertz, who's a wrestler, I think a D2 wrestler, Minnesota State, something like that. So I'm just like, at what point are the commissioners going to say, we need to sit down and you need to defend your scorecard. Give me your reasons why you scored it this way. And if you don't have an answer, a plausible answer, then you're going to have to be suspended for ineptitude.
Agreed.
Because I can't think of any other profession where you can do an awful job and no one ever says, hey, man, you fucked up. You know, we're going to have to do some. I mean, if I fuck up in something I'm doing, yeah, I'm going to get called in. They're going to be like, Brian, we got a problem.
Nah, there's got to be some job where you can just continue to do that.
Well, usually they're government jobs, you know.
Yeah, like a parks and rec director.
Which I guess is what judging is, right? Because, you know, I'm like, I couldn't become a judge because, you know, I've said a bunch of shit. So I could never become a judge. And part of me is like, if I did want to be a judge, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable because I kind of have these guys' career, like, based on – I could change their career based on if I mess up or not. But then I'm like, well, these guys are fucking with their careers. They're not doing anything. They're not – I mean, it couldn't get any worse. It couldn't get any worse. So, yeah. Tom, well, I really think if you're a fan, if you're a big enough fan of this sport to be listening to a podcast like this, I think you should look up on the State Athletic Commission how you become a judge and start training to be a judge. Because the guys that got in place right now are terrible. So if you're a fan, if you watch MMA, you know, every Saturday night, every Friday night, with a little training, I bet you we could produce a whole new generation of judges that are more capable.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or if different scoring systems the answer, or different application of the scoring system, giving out more 10-8s and stuff like that. I don't know what the answer is, but a lot of times it sucks. So
I think a major issue.
Another thing, the whole like don't leave it in the hands of the judges thing, that's bullshit. Every sport has like an ending. You know, in soccer, you don't just you don't go until everybody's dead. You know, I don't know why MMA it's viewed upon like letting a fight go the distance is a bad thing. Like every other sport has a finite time limit.
I think that's a pretty ignorant statement whenever they say don't leave it in the hands of the judges. I think that's a cop out because especially at the UFC, when you're talking about the top level, the top athletes, like, you know, say like you're going to fight Maldonado or whatever. Don't leave that in the hands of the judges. Say you're Maldonado. You're not an easy guy to finish. He's not a submission guy. You know, so the only way that he has to finish the fight is to knock you out. You've never been knocked out. Yeah. So it's like, it's not that easy. But people repeat the same bullshit because they've heard Dana say it's over and over and over. And it's always about they put it on the fighters and they don't put it on the blame on the system that these fighters are fighting under.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. We're right on.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that they announced last night was the light heavyweight the tournament September 19th. I'm going to that. That's in Dynamite. That's called Dynamite in San Jose, California.
Yep.
I don't think Tom can make it. I think I asked him off the air. So, but I'll be there, and Chris might come of MMA.TV fame.
Is he really going to go?
I don't know. I have this suspicion, you know, because he contacted me that he wanted to. He said like no homo. You know, let's go to a fight together, and then we can talk about it and put something out afterwards, and kind of bury this little feud. And I said, yeah, well, let's go to. But I think he was drinking quite a bit that night. I don't know if he was serious.
I don't know. Yeah, if he goes, I would be. I would strongly consider going.
I'm already going. So if he wants to come hang out, I mean. You know, it was cool when I saw him in Chicago. It's not like I have a legitimate grudge against him or the other guy that runs the site.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's good. He's fine.
Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is the bracket is Linton Vassell versus King Mo, and then the other one is Phil Davis versus Emmanuel Newton.
Yeah.
So I guess that was kind of predictable because – I think everybody knows they want Phil Davis versus King Mo in the finals.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting one.
They could have just matched him up right there, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Then you get the guaranteed fight.
That would be my thinking. Yeah, well, you can advertise beyond a shadow of a doubt, King Mo versus Phil Davis.
Yeah. Plus, and Emmanuel Newman should be ranked number one if in that like little mini tournament, right? So him versus Vassal, who would be four, and then you get Phil Davis versus King Mo right off the bat, 2 and 3.
But I don't think they want Vassal or Newton in the finals.
Well, they're running that risk by having them fight
two
guys. You know, there's no guarantee that Phil Davis and Mo are gonna win.
Yeah, I mean, remember?
Right? I mean, Emmanuel Newton beat King Mo a few times.
Yeah,
and
with the back fist, and then he beat him a decision, I think.
Yeah, it's not like the guy can't stop a takedown ever, you know.
Yeah, so that's going to be on Dynamite, and also it's headlined by Tito Ortiz versus Liam McGeary, Englishman. And they interviewed Tito, and I said on Twitter before that I could listen to this guy cut promos all day. He could be ordering breakfast, and you know he's bound to fuck it up somehow. And it's just awesome.
To me, you notice his name, Liam McGeary, kind of looks like Andre Arlovsky to me.
Totally, yeah, he totally does, which is weird because McGeary's what, he's from England and Arlovsky's from like Belarus.
That guy from England,
yeah,
looks like a white guy from Belarus.
I guess he's got some Eastern European blood in him.
Who knows?
And he's got an Irish last name. It's kind of mind boggling. But you know, another thing on this Bellator card that kind of pissed me off was Patricky Pitbull and this guy Awad.
Awad.
So these guys were talking a big game. You know, they were like, this is a big grudge match. They were hyping it up. And they fight 15 minutes, and at the end, and even in between the rounds, it's all about sportsmanship, and they're hugging after the fight. And it's just like, guys, come on, you sold this as a grudge fight. You can't sell it for the audience a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, low blow the guy or scratch his eyeballs out like Palhares. But, I mean, you sold this fight on false pretenses. That's fucking fraud.
I got nothing to say. I don't know what you want me to say. Happens all the time.
Right, but I think they have to. You have to lead a charge as an influence, as a policy influencer.
Hey, let's get to the root of this problem. Why did this one affect you so much? Can we talk about this? Is there some underlying reason?
No, I mean, I really don't care about either of these guys, to be honest with you. But
so what are you angry about?
Because I don't think it sets a good example for everybody else that's watching. A million people are watching that, and they're becoming totally. They're being brainwashed not to believe any of these grudge matches, which is bad for the sport. Because these types of sports, boxing, MMA, even pro wrestling, are built on grudges. You know, you go back 15 years ago.
But here's the thing. Those two guys aren't going to draw regardless of whatever grudge they have. You know, so at least they tried to do something in the build-up, even if, you know, it was disingenuous. Is that better or worse than just doing nothing?
Well,
I really respect this guy. I can't wait to fight.
I see what you're saying. But, I mean, would it take that much effort not to be hugging each other? I mean, you shake the guy's hands, you look him in the eye, and you walk out of the cage. I mean, what's there a hug about?
They're sharing a moment. Who gives a shit?
Now, are you big on – I mean, I haven't watched all of your fights under a fine-tooth comb, but do you do the bro hug?
Nah, I think I – I don't know. Handshake probably?
Yeah. I think a handshake is good enough in all situations.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. I think if I win, I give the bro hug.
Yeah.
And if I lose, the handshake.
I think I told you the story. Matt Lindland wants to end the bro hug. And I kind of agree with him on that. He hates it.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. But there should be something more than just a handshake, you know? Sometimes something more is warranted. But I don't know about the bro hug. Bro hug's a different beast.
So, that's just my little rant. I wish these guys would sell the angle a little bit better. I mean, maybe nobody else picks up on it, but that's the kind of shit that I see. I'm like, come on, guys. You put enough effort to build it to this point. Finish it, you know?
Just, you know what? Just bet on the fight. Bet on it, and then you'll become you'll forget about all that shit. You'll become emotionally invested in it.
Well, that's true. You know, I got a check on that Montana versus North Dakota State game. I put some money on that one.
The football game?
Yeah, there's a football game on today.
Who gives a shit?
There's only one, and then next week, I don't. Yeah, I can't even pull it up on the ESPN app. Oh wait, shit. No, it's 28-28 with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Oh, what a barn burner.
Yeah. And in Missoula, Montana, it's like sold out. There's like 30,000 people there because I guess what else is there to do?
I've heard it's awesome.
Missoula?
I've heard that it's awesome there. Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, I assume Montana's a pretty cool place to visit.
Yeah. I bet you it's like kind of in the same vein as Alaska. Like, you know, everything's big.
Yeah, I read something like there's more cattle there than human beings.
Really?
Yeah, some strange, some crazy thing like that.
Yeah.
That
I've been sandwiched between a few cattle before.
I can only imagine. What were you doing?
Hey, some things I don't want out there, man.
Yeah. The animal rights activists might come after you. And then the culinary union will say this guy's abusing animals.
Yeah.
They're farm animals. They probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
So coming up next week is UFC 191 being headlined, you know, being promoted as the biggest rematch in flyweight, UFC flyweight title history. So it's technically not wrong, but I think there's only been two flyweight title rematches. This one and then Benavidez versus Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, well, even if it was that one, even if it was the first one, it would still be correct, so go with it.
Yeah, so, well, let's start with the first, or the three major fights on there. In your division, 205, Anthony Johnson versus a guy that I thought you were going to fight next, actually, Jimmy Manuwa. Good striker, yeah. AJ, big striker. How do you see this one? Well, let me just give the people coming into this fight. AJ, he beat Little Nog. He knocked out Alex Gustafsson, and he, of course, lost to Daniel Cormier. Manuwa, he lost to Gustafsson and then beat Jan Blachowicz, if I'm saying that right.
Jan
Blachowicz. How do you see this one going?
I think Rumble wins.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I don't think there's too many guys that can hang with Rumble on the feet. I mean, if you want to beat this guy, you better get him down because he seems to have a kind of a short gas tank once somebody gets on top of him.
Yeah, well, also with Manuwa too. Manuwa doesn't have a lot in the tank there as far as when the fight gets going into the later rounds too. So, I don't think he'll be able to really capitalize once it gets going later on like Cormier did. So I think Rumble will win.
Do you think in the first round?
I don't know, maybe second. I don't know.
Yeah.
Both guys hit hard, so I'm expecting a finish. But sometimes, you know, sometimes when you're expecting that, it doesn't happen. And you get the crappy stand-up match, you know.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many more exciting fighters to watch than Anthony Johnson, this version of Anthony Johnson. I mean, we were at that fight, I guess it was UFC 187, and he fucking blasted Cormier.
That punch was ridiculous, right?
I mean, I can remember, you even popped for it, because I think you were either right next to me or one seat down, and you popped for it. You were like, whoa, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a phenomenal right hand. Like, unbelievable fucking precision accuracy right to the dome. It was like a laser.
Yeah, give credit to DC for weathering that storm and then And then, you know, he got him down, and then you could hear Johnson's corners pleading with him, don't quit, which kind of tells me that maybe they know something that, you know, if things aren't going his way, he'll look for a way out.
Yep, perhaps yeah. That is the case.
Next fight, Andrei Arlovsky versus Frank Mir. So, I mean, this one, you know, Arlovsky in his latest UFC run is 3-0. So he had that split decision win against Brendan Schaub. He knocked out Bigfoot and then knocked out a guy who's in the news a lot lately, Travis Brown.
Yep.
And Frank Mir, who everybody thought his career was done, completely done. He had lost 4 in a row. He just, you know, he wasn't moving around too well, had a big stomach on him. And he's knocked out Bigfoot and Todd Duffy. If he wins this fight, he beats Arlovsky. Are we looking at another title shot for this guy?
Could be. I mean, I think the winner of this is going to get the title shot. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that leaves Stipe.
It is really weird because it looked like for a second there that Stipe was going to get the title shot, and then, you know, I really don't understand Cain getting that title shot because, you know, it's not like he's a huge draw for pay-per-view. So, as you know, they're trying to play the, you know, Cain at sea level. You know, it'll be a different fight, possibly.
Yeah, but it could be, but it could also be the same fight.
I think he should beat somebody first, you know, but.
Yeah, I agree. Not a fan of that decision. Plus, like, I wouldn't mind seeing Arlovsky in there. Put Arlovsky in there, right? Because he already beat Verdum once.
Right. UFC 70.
Yeah, put him in there. Give him a title shot. Have Stipe fight Frank Mir. All right. And then, you know, have Cain fight somebody else. Have Cain fight Rothwell or, you know, throw Rothwell in that mix.
So,
and make the matches. Stipe versus Rothwell. Who cares, you know? Cain versus Mir.
As we stand right now, Stipe doesn't have a fight?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because it's not coming to me. Or, no. Well, who's Rothwell fighting?
Is it Stipe? Maybe he is fighting Stipe. Maybe I just fantasy booked myself into something that's already happening.
Yeah, are they going to fight in Dublin? Let me see. Yeah, actually, they're going to fight October 24th in Dublin. Stipe versus Ben Rothwell.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Exactly. That's what I thought all along, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I was saying the whole time.
Yeah.
Pay attention, man. Come on.
More I listen to you, smarter I get, man. And then in the main event, the fight that the masses have been demanding, and when I was in Vegas for Global Force Wrestling.
Yes. They were chanting for my bet, right?
Yeah, they were chanting for Mighty Mouse. I mean, I walked out. I got into the limo. A limo driver says, "Hey man, when's that Mighty Mouse fight? I don't want to miss it." And I said, "Well, you're in luck. It's not this weekend. It's 2 weeks. You know, it's Labor Day." And he was like, "Okay, great. You know, I'm getting all my buddies together and buying this pay per view." Now, are your friends out there in Vegas saying the same thing?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of buzz on the street for this one. I think people are excited to see, you know, the guy. I mean, a lot of us know him as a former fullback for the Dallas Cowboys and a current NFL analyst, you know, Moose Johnston. So a lot of people know him from, you know, from that, but the guy's a hell of a fighter as well.
He got really mad at me, I guess, because I'd like to think it was my work with Supercal of promoting Horiguchi.
Gucci?
Yeah, the Gooch. I think he got upset because, you know, I picked the Gooch. And, you know, I've been wrong a few times. It won't be the last time that I'm wrong. But, you know, I thought the Gooch was the modern mini Sakuraba. Apparently I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the Gooch is the shits, too. So,
but as Fedor said, the man that doesn't fall down can't stand up. Is that what he – did he say something like that?
I don't know.
It might have been just a bad translation.
What if you sat down? You could easily sit down and then stand up.
So I think Fedor, he was talking metaphorically.
I'd fucking hope so.
Or maybe it was a complete shoot. Your favorite is to like fuck around.
The question is intelligence. But I mean, never stood up falling.
Yeah, but you know, I somebody with a M Life, you know, the MGM. I forget what the. I guess it's some kind of loyalty club. I guess you would call it. So they're offering like 200. They're offering tickets at $53 and $78, which would be normally like 200 and 300 respectively.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, if you're in Vegas or you're in Southern California and want to make a weekend or holiday weekend trip, I mean, there's very cheap tickets to be had.
Yeah, and I'm sure the show will be good.
Yeah, probably. Paige VanZant is fighting again, and you see her fight, and you know you like what you see. You can also buy her booty shorts. You
can buy her pants, yeah. Hopefully, you can buy her shorts after this fight for the low price of $3,000.
When I heard the "puh" sound, I thought you were going to say panties.
What did I say?
Well, you said pants.
Oh, whatever.
Now, I mean, I think her fight shorts would go for about $2,000. Now,
what? I think more.
You think more? What would you say it is?
Four.
Okay, 4,000. Now, what would her Reebok branded underwear go for?
Oh, my God. Ugh. I don't think you can put a price on that.
See, somebody out there.
Somebody out there would pay $100,000 for this.
I don't think you're too crazy with that notion. I mean, there's got to be some weirdo out there with a bunch of money that wants to buy it. I mean, yeah. I think there's some of these female fighters are going to be like, "Fuck it, if somebody will pay for it, here you go. I don't give a shit."
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, let me know who it is so I can put a restraining order against them.
I'll wear whatever somebody wants to. And
now, somebody tweeted me and they said, they wanted me to ask you, how much would you charge for a filthy Tom Lawler fight worn jockstrap with the cup? This is allegedly from the Underground.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think I could get? $1,000.
$1,000? I mean, your shirt's going for $400.
Yeah, $1,000.
So there's your answer, guys. $1,000, you can have a fight-worn jockstrap from Filthy Tom Lawler. And from talking to some...
Hairs included.
What is that? What's included?
Hairs.
Oh, hairs, yes. Hairs are included. And as Matt Santos, who's on our show a couple weeks ago... said, they don't call him filthy for nothing. That's not one of those, you know, you call the fat guy tiny. It's for real.
Which I am a big fan of, by the way. I always love that. It's a classic, but it's a goodie.
Yeah, calling the fat guy tiny.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, So I think that's everything that we wanted to talk about. You got anything, Tom? You got any announcements or anything crazy going on?
No, just you know, that PWG show was awesome last night. So if you ever get a chance to check out any of their stuff, do it. I mean, great independent wrestling action.
For sure. And if the people don't remember, that's the show. Ronda Rousey showed up and Ric Flair chopped. I don't know which wrestler it was. Do you remember?
Nah, I don't remember. So she probably Joey, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and then Sofia Vergara was there. Her husband is apparently a big wrestling fan.
Oh my God. She
was at the show one time, and you could tell that she was horrified by the fact she was at an indie wrestling show.
Brian, the ring announcer from Lucha Underground, is there ring announcing last night.
Is that Melissa Santos?
Oh my God, yes. Oh, Melissa, unbelievable.
Let's see if she has a Twitter. Maybe we can have her.
She's so hot. Unbelievably hot.
Yeah.
Hot. Like.
Ariane level or?
Who?
Ariane, UFC legend.
Not my type. UFC legend. I love it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
I mean, yeah. I mean, people think I'm trolling, but she's definitely getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. I mean, yeah, there's no way around it. She's getting in the Hall of Fame, and she's going to do this speech like a complete shoot. Like, she really deserves it. And it's going to be hilarious.
Hey, I mean, she's been with the company forever. Whatever.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to.
I mean, it is pretty hard to be that hot for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I give her a lot of credit. I mean, you know, she doesn't have the luxury of walk-around weight. You know, she's got to be on weight, like, almost every weekend out of the year.
Yeah.
You know, she can't do the off-season weight and then cut down. So, yeah, we like to joke about the Octagon girls, but, you know, from a exercise and nutrition point of view, I mean, they got to be on point.
Yeah. There's no we.
What, I don't
talk bad about them.
Well, yeah, you're right. You don't.
I love them all. They're great.
Yeah, they provide a valuable service. All right, so on that note, on the ring card engineer, or technicians, or whatever the fuck you want to call them, I'm FRB for Filthy Tom Lawler. Later.